God's grace, his mercy, his peace be yours through God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Took us a while to get here, didn't it, guys? Should have been confirmed over a year ago. But confirmation got interrupted, the pandemic happened, so finally we're here. And by the way, I'd like to acknowledge their confirmation teacher. Eric, would you stand up? Come on. Thank you, Eric. You did a good job. Well, today's Reformation Sunday. Now, I'm just going to be talking to you three, okay? So the rest of you, you can get out your phones, play solitaire, whatever. I'm just talking to you three today. It's Reformation. Now, what exactly is Reformation? Well, to try and summarize it, it's when God, by his Spirit through Scripture, enabled Martin Luther to better understand what it means to be a Christian. He saw a lot of abuses in the church. People could buy their way out of things. For example, okay, Carson, I'm going to use you, okay? Now, suppose you want to hit your brother and get away with it. Can you do that? No. Okay. Or suppose you want to back sass. Can you do that? Not easily. But if you came to me, if I was a priest back then, you could come to me and say, here, I want to buy an indulgence. And I would write you out a piece of paper. In fact, I'm going to do it right now. Carson can hit his brother. Carson can back sass. No penalty, no sin. Okay. Would that be pretty good? Yeah. Do you have $5? You don't? Forget it. That's what happened. Along with other things. And Luther saw this, and after looking at Scripture over and over, especially the book of Romans, great book, by the way, he understood that we are saved not by what we do, that sins aren't forgiven by what we can buy, but that it's all by faith, trusting in Jesus Christ who died for you, believing that he rose from the dead, and living your life as he tells you to live, not because you want to be saved, but because you are. That, in a nutshell, is what the Reformation is all about. But today is also Confirmation Sunday. I've never had confirmation on Reformation Day before. But it's pretty cool. I like it. And I think it's very appropriate that today you join the church as essentially adults. You know, if you think about it, what is confirmation? Is it something we do because we've always done it before? You know, our parents say, well, I had to go through it, so you're going through it. You know, is it that? I hope not. It's not a sacrament. It's something neither commanded nor by God for forgiveness, nor does it use visible elements like baptism and communion. So then what exactly is confirmation all about? Well, what it is you are affirming for yourselves what was said for you when you were baptized. Now, you remember what was said for you when you were baptized, right? I don't either. You were babies. Brought into God's kingdom. Those are your adoption papers, okay? You were brought into God's kingdom, adopted as his children by baptism, even though you didn't have any idea what it was all about. Somebody spoke for you. Somebody made promises for you. Somebody agreed with what we say when we believe in Jesus. The Apostles' Creed. But it was done for you. And now it's time for you to say, I agree with that, and I believe it. It's also the church saying, we have taught you what it means to be Christian and what being a Lutheran is all about. And it's you saying, yep, that's what I was taught, and that's what I believe. You've been taught the basics to this point about God and Jesus and heaven and hell and faith. But it's the basics, okay? I pray for each one of you that you will keep reading Scripture and studying God's Word and you will keep praying, and you'll keep worshiping. Not just because you're expected to, but because you hopefully want to. Also, in making the promises and affirming the ones made for you when you were baptized, you are making a promise to God and to yourselves to keep those all your life. We'll get into that later. And it's also telling the world and all the people around you that you are a Christian, that you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, that he was born for you, that he died for you, that he rose again, ascended, that he is God's Son. You see, when you were baptized, all those promises were made for you. Now you're making them on your own. But notice what I said there. You're telling the world that you are a Christian. Okay? When you were baptized, none of the rest of you listen to this, you were not baptized a Lutheran. I've got to tell you that. You were baptized a Christian. It says in Romans chapter 6, do you not know that those of you who were baptized into Christ? Martin Luther, as much as we honor him as the one who brought God's word to light, he didn't die for you. Martin Luther was a sinner, just like me, just like the people around you, just like you. The only sinless one who ever lived, the only one who died for you and rose is Jesus, and you were baptized into him. So never confuse the idea with Christian with Lutheran, okay? But we're going to do the importance of that later. You are a Christian. You believe in Jesus Christ. And ultimately, when it comes down to it, when you and I stand before God on Judgment Day, there's going to be one question he asks you. What do you think of Christ? Whose son is he? That's the question. What do you think of Jesus? That's where it all comes down to. So that's why today, when you stand up here at the altar and you get a blessing from either me or from Pastor Erickson for Ella and for Bennett, because Pastor Erickson, by the way, and Connie took Ella and Bennett through confirmation classes, and I thank them for that. You're going to be standing there as a Christian in the Lutheran tradition, but as a Christian first and foremost. Look at what Isaiah says. Isaiah's great on this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Boy, we'll get into that in a minute. Above him were seraphs and so forth. Now at the sound of their voices, he said, and it's Isaiah speaking, he says, the doorposts and the threshold shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. Woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. See, he's laying out there what being a Christian is all about. We're sinful people, you and me. We can't save ourselves. We can't make up for doing wrong yesterday by the right we might do today. In fact, Jesus lays it out. He said, even if you do everything right, you've only done what's expected. So here's Isaiah talking about this, and here he is saying in the vision that he saw, I'm a sinner, and I live among sinful people, and I've seen the Almighty God. But then he tells us the great benefit of being a Christian. Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, look, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for. Do you see what it's saying there to you? Through Jesus, all your sins are forgiven. You're made right with God. You have the gift of eternal life. Think about that. See, you're young now, okay? Most of us here have been where you are. We were young. And when you're young, you don't think much about death. I got to tell you, you don't. In fact, when we're young, we think we're going to live forever and that nothing bad ever happens to us. And the older we get, the more we realize that's not true. Bad things do happen. People we know and people we love die. We run into problems we can't deal with on our own. We don't know how to. Sometimes we run into financial problems, sometimes marriage problems. sometimes just life problems or health problems. And if we don't have anyone to turn to, where do we go? See, here's where Isaiah is saying that the Lord himself, through the seraph, through the angel, came down and brought forgiveness to Isaiah. God comes to us. Now, he doesn't come down in the form of an angel in a vision, but he comes down through his word, through the promise of hope that we have in Jesus. And that's yours. And that's what you have by faith. And that's what the Reformation's all about, too. Being Christian is not a matter of not having fun in life. Sinning is not fun, I got to tell you. Being a Christian is a matter of having a joy in God and in life that you don't have otherwise. And just, you know, if you ever think about, well, is it really for me? Is Christianity? If you ever think about that, well, just realize and understand that not being a Christian has a lot of negatives attached to it. In life and in eternity. Where do you go when you have a burden on your soul? What do you turn to? When life smacks you in the face, where do you go if you don't have God to turn to? And if you stand before God on Judgment Day and you don't know Jesus, what do you say to God then? That's where it gets tough. But God willing, you're a Christian, each of you, and you'll stay that way, firm in the promise of the Lord. Now, being a Christian doesn't mean that you have a lot of rules given to you to make life harder. It's not that way at all. Luther pointed that out. In fact, we affirmed that today in the epistle lesson out of Romans that was read. We're saved by faith, not by a list of rules, not by somebody coming and say, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. We live by faith, by trusting in Jesus, and by living in the freedom that God gives us, that if God hasn't commanded that we don't do something, we can do it. And if God says don't do something, we don't do it. Living in the way of Jesus makes life a whole lot better. And so today, when you stand up here, you're affirming that you are a Christian, baptized into Jesus way back when you were little babies. And now for yourself saying, yeah, that's what I believe. And it also means you're doing so as a Lutheran. See, it's Reformation Day, so I better say something about being Lutheran, right? Okay. Do you know what it means to be a Lutheran? Is it different than being a Christian? No. But I think it better defines you as a Christian. See, as Lutherans, we hold that only the Bible tells us what we should do or shouldn't do in the way we live, not man's ideas. I can't come along to you and say, you can't wear black shoes. God doesn't like that. It's not in the Bible. Now, in past times, sometimes man's ideas gets all wrapped up with how we're to live as a Christian, and we get confused. Do you know that not too many years ago, it was considered a sin to dance? You know that? And yet the Bible doesn't say that. It's man's ideas. Or that you had to wear your hair in a certain way, or couldn't wear it in a certain way. Again, that's man's ideas. We as Lutheran Christians hold that we believe the Word of God as it is written, because we also believe that the Bible is God's Word, word for word, cover to cover, and that determines how we live. That determines how the church operates. That determines what we do out in the world. And it determines how we go through life, trusting in Jesus in the way the Bible tells us to do so. Now, that doesn't mean other Christians don't. And sometimes we disagree with other Christians. You're going to find that out. We don't put them down. God willing, they don't put us down. But it means this is how I understand the Bible to mean. You learned it through Luther's Small Catechism, which we believe is a correct presentation of what the Bible's all about. And I hope you'll stay within that. Being a Lutheran also means that we know exactly where we stand with God And we know what is right and what is wrong, because Scripture clearly tells us, and we follow that. So today when you stand up here, you stand up as a Christian, but you stand as a Christian, as a Lutheran, or as a Christian within the Lutheran tradition, knowing what you've been taught and saying, yeah, that's what I believe. And I pray that you'll stay within that all of your lives. Now, I understand, and I know that sometimes people go to other churches and denominations. As they get older, they get married, things change. But I pray for you that you always keep to heart what you have learned about God here and what you affirm today that you believe about Him. Now, how do we do that? Well, you know, it used to be, this happened when I was young. You know, I always said I would never say when I was young I did it this way, but I'm doing that now, so. When you get old, you can do that. When I was your age, when we had confirmation, we had to come up front and stand up front. And anybody in the congregation could ask us questions about what was in the small catechism. And we had to know it by memory. Would you think that would be much fun? I didn't either. So you know what I did? Never thinking that I would ever be a pastor. And by the way, who knows if God might call one of you to be a pastor or you to work in the church, Ella, in some way. So what I did when I got to be a pastor is I said, okay, the first congregation I got to, they did that too. They made the kids come up. And kids were scared out of their minds to do that. So I said, okay. I said, once you in the congregation get done asking these kids questions, any of you who ask questions can come up here and the kids can ask you questions. They didn't do it anymore. But that doesn't mean that I don't want to know and I want the congregation to know what it is you believe. Okay, that's important. So today, when you sit there, I'm going to ask you some questions. First, I'm going to ask some questions and the congregation's going to respond and you have some answers to it. They're all written right there. But then there comes a time when I just ask you questions, and I want to go through those because they're not done just to do it. I want you to see how important it is. So open up your liturgy to page 7. We're going to go through those. About halfway down the page, okay? Got it? It says, I'm going to ask you, do you believe in God the Father? And the way you answer is, yes, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. That's right out of the Apostles' Creed. See, in the Christian church, we have three creeds, which are called universal creeds. We have the Apostles' Creed, we have the Nicene Creed, and we have that big, long one that we use on Trinity Sunday, the Athanasian Creed. Okay. When you were baptized, words from the Apostles' Creed were spoken for you, to you and with you. And today you speak them yourselves, and it's very important that you understand what it means. In our text today in Isaiah, it starts out by saying, in the year that King Uzziah died. Now, why do you think Isaiah would put that in there? It goes right here with what you're going to say, that I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Because what Scripture tells us there in Isaiah and elsewhere is that God is real. In the year that King Uzziah died, that's what Isaiah is saying to people, go check it. We're putting it in the real world, in history, in reality. It's not a case of once upon a time with God. It's to show that God is a reality. He made the world, He made the universe, He made everything, and He made you and me. And then I ask you, do you believe in God the Son? And the answer, of course, is yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. And then it goes through His life history. There you are saying, I believe that He is my Savior, my Redeemer. He is the one who died for me. He rose for me, and He lives still for me. And it's for me. It's for you. See, whenever it says God did something, He did it for you. And that's so you can take that to heart and trust that your whole life. And then you say, or I ask, do you believe in God the Spirit, the Holy Spirit? And you answer, yeah, I believe in the Holy Spirit. See, that's the one who brings you to faith and keeps you in faith through the Word. That's the one who helps you worship, who helps you pray. Now, you may get to a point in life, things happen. You'll find that out. I wish you wouldn't, but you will, because life being what it is, and this world is broken by sin, you will. And sometimes you get to a point where you just don't know how to pray. You talk to people here, and they can tell you that. Life gets heavy at times, and you don't know how to put into words what you want to say to the Lord. But you know what it says in the book of Romans when that happens? It says the Holy Spirit takes a look at our heart and reads all the thoughts that are there, all the word things that we can't put into words, and he puts that into words which God the Father can understand, and he prays for you. Think about that. When you find it hard to pray, God even takes care of that. That's how good God is. So when you're saying, yeah, I believe in God, the Holy Spirit, you're saying, yeah, I believe in the Spirit. I believe in what he does. I believe in what he does through the church. I believe in what he does for me. Okay. And then I ask you, do you accept that the doctrine of the Lutheran Church, as you have learned to know it from the Small Catechism, to be faithful and true to Scripture? Well, we went over that. And if that's what you believe, then I hope you'll say I do. But I pray that you do believe that. Trust it. Do you intend to worship regularly and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully and often? I hope so. I pray so. Because you've learned that communion is bread and wine together with the body and blood of Jesus. Now, I don't understand how God does that. See, and that's something as Lutherans, we're not afraid to say, I don't know sometimes. I believe it because Scripture says it, but even though I don't understand it. But that's where God comes and visibly gives you his gift of grace and forgiveness, life and salvation, and affirms that to you. It's like God's medicine, okay? It's like getting a booster shot with a vaccination. Only you do it regularly because we sin all the time. And worship regularly? Yeah, I hope you will. That's where you come to meet God and God meets you. That's where you gather with all your fellow Christians and you hold each other up and you help each other and you care about each other. Now, do you intend to live according to God's word and in faith, word, and deed and come to God in prayer through Jesus Christ? Oh, I hope you do. Prayer is such a gift God gives us. And living according to God's word, that's what defines us as Christians. Do you know the effect that that has on the people around you? Do you ever go to a pond and throw a stone in and watch the ripples spread out? If you haven't, do it sometime. Okay? That's what it's like for you walking through life as a Christian. You leave ripples that you can't even see, which affect all the people around you. Because when we live as Christians, we live differently than the rest of the world. We live caring about each other, forgiving each other, loving each other, helping each other. And so you're making a promise you're going to do that. And now the final question is this. It's about page 8. I now lay this upon your hearts. Will you give your word, your solemn promise, that you will keep this commitment of faith throughout your life? That's not how it used to be worded when I was confirmed. You know how it was worded when I was confirmed? Said, will you remain faithful and suffer all, even death, rather than fall away? You know, I didn't know what that meant. I was 14. I had no clue what it meant to promise that I would be faithful even at the point of death. It just didn't hit me. And we live in a country where it's unlikely that anyone will ever come to say to you, you know, if you don't turn away from Jesus, you're going to be put to death. It happens in other countries. I don't think, and I pray it never happens in this one. But there's going to be other times as you get older where things will happen that will try and pull you away from Jesus. You'll find out if you haven't. You'll be out with your friends. Let's go do this or let's go do that. And you know you shouldn't because it's not right with the Lord. And that means you have a choice then to stand up and say, no, I can't do it. And if they say why, you'll say, because I'm a Christian. And you may get laughed at. In fact, you probably will. And you may have other times in your life where you've got to make a choice between doing what is right in the eyes of God and doing what is advantageous in the eyes of the world. And I hope then that you'll remember that you took a promise to be faithful and that you'll live according to that. And that goes with you all your life. See, people today make promises so easily. Oftentimes they don't even mean them. They just make them to make them. But I hope today when I ask you that and you say, yeah, I do, that you've thought about it and you take it to heart and you live that. Faithful unto death. But then it comes along that God promises life after death. You know, you're kind of like Isaiah here. You know what the Lord has done for you. You know what the Lord has given you in terms of your life, your faith, your hope for the future. And now God comes along and says, who will go and speak for us? In other words, who's going to go out in the world and live as we want them to and do what we want them to do? And I hope your answer will be the same as Isaiah, who says, here am I, send me. Knowing what God has done for you in Jesus, to say, here I am, God, send me out into the world. I don't know where you're sending me. I don't know what you're going to have to do for me. God has different paths for each one of you. But to say, okay, God, lead me on that path. Take me where you want to go. And by your Holy Spirit, help me to continue to live as your person in this world. There will come a time when you have to stand up or sit down. Stand up for God or sit down for yourselves. And I hope you'll remember what you've received here. What God has given you, starting with your baptism. And now what today you promise for yourselves in the way you'll live. It's something solid to hold on to for your whole life. Do you know who Billy Graham is? He's with the Lord now, but do you know who he was? Okay, he was not Lutheran, but he was a great preacher. Good Christian, brought a lot of people to Jesus. Well, one time a young Christian, just like yourselves, wrote to him and they said, Pastor Graham, I know I'm going to heaven when I die, but what does God want me to do in the meantime? That's a good question. You've got your whole lives ahead of you. Finishing high school, maybe a career in hockey, college, whatever. I don't know. God will lead you, though. But what do I do in the meantime? That's a good question. Billy Graham replied this way. He said, what does God want you to do? Listen, as long as you are on this earth, he wants you to walk with him every day. You see, the Bible says there are only two ways of living. The first is to live for yourself. But the second way is to live for Christ, to do what he wants you to do, following his will and his plan for your life. How does this happen? It happens as you read the Bible and allow its truth to shape your life. It happens also through prayer and through gathering for worship with your fellow Christians. And then Billy Graham ends the letter with these words. Never take your eyes off Jesus. That's what I say to you today. Never take your eyes off Jesus. No matter where you are, when you are, how old you are, in whatever circumstance you find yourself, never take your eyes off Jesus. He's your Lord, your Savior, your friend. He's with you now. He's with you each and every day of your lives. So no matter where you are, where you find yourself, what situation you're in, never take your eyes off Jesus. In his name, amen. And now God's peace, which passes our understanding, keep your hearts and minds by faith to eternal life. Amen.